This is Andy Griffith. Herb Hofstadt is an actor's agent in Hollywood, where agents are as numerous as palm trees. And one more is needed like another palm tree. He hasn't been, let's say, overwhelmingly successful at his job. He once was able to get a raccoon a job in a Disney nature film. But as for humans, well, let's be honest, Herb's down to one client. The one above all he wants to get a job for and hasn't been able to. It's his girlfriend, Sonia. Good thing she already has a job as a waitress. Anyway, one day Sonia was in Herb's small third floor office when the postman dropped his usual assortment of bills. A lot of them, all overdue. Brochures for investment opportunities, get rich growing avocados, and a surprise. A large envelope.
What's that, Herb?
Sonia, my sweet, if I knew what was in it, I might not have to open it.
Well, now that you have, what is it?
Oh, looks like a book. Summer and Fire by Ann Kenyon.
You join a book club?
Sonia, look at this. Does it look like a book? It is what we call in the trade a manuscript.
Oh, yeah. Now that you mention it, it doesn't look like a book.
But it would if somebody printed it.
I get it.
Good.
But why did you get it? I mean...
I know what you mean, Sonia. Why was it sent to me, huh? There's a letter.
What's it say?
A moment. Give me a moment, do you mind? Ms. Ann Kenyon lives in a small town in the farm country north of here. She's submitting her manuscript to me.
Why?
Wants me to be her agent.
You?
But... Well, she found a directory that listed agents here in town. Oh, and Kenyon, you are a dumb broad.
Why dumb? She can write a book.
Speaking of dumb broads... Look, Sonia, this Ann Kenyon looked up agents. She doesn't know the difference between a literary agent, which is what she wants, and an agent for actors, which is me.
Well, maybe she heard how you don't get jobs for your clients and should get into this field.
Oh, bit of biting sarcasm we have here?
Mm-hmm. Well, Herb, I mean, you can't get a job for your only client, and you can't get a small role even for a client like me.
Even? Sonia, baby, even? You are very special. We just can't accept anything for you.
Well, what are you going to do?
With you?
The book.
Well, she didn't include return postage. You want to read it? Or have me read it to you?
Very funny. Such nice paper. You could use it for scratch paper, although you don't seem to be taking down many phone numbers for auditions.
All right, quit already, huh? I'll take it home with me. You got nothing better to do this weekend since you're working at the restaurant.
If it wasn't for the tips, we wouldn't eat.
Can't afford to buy a paperback sex novel, so I'll try to read Summer and Fire by Ann Kenyon.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Novel Affair by P.M. Klepper. Our stars, Cliff Norton, Noel North, and Janet Waldo.
By mistake, a Hollywood actor's agent, Herb Hofstadt, has received in the mail a manuscript for a novel which should have gone to a literary agent. He's taking it home to read over the weekend. In the courtyard of the apartment complex, he meets...
Professor Purcell.
Herbert!
Thought you were moving out as soon as you were through studying us swingers for that sociology project. Why are you staying on?
The rent is cheap. Yeah. What have you there, Herbert?
Oh, nothing.
It appears to be about 300 pages of nothing.
Hey, what's a novel?
Herbert, I didn't think you could write much more than your name.
Oh, no, it's not mine, Professor. Somebody sent it to me.
Odd gift?
No, Professor. The author thinks I'm a literary agent.
I didn't know that.
Well, I'm not, Professor, I'm not. Don't you remember? I handle actors.
I had forgotten. Who? Lonnie Anderson? Bo Derek?
Ever hear of Sonia Johnson? No. Neither is anybody else.
If you were really a literary agent, you might have helped me.
You?
I write novels.
You do? Hey, my turn to
nothing
be surprised.
Nothing deep, nothing academic. Bang, bang. both guns and sex.
You?
I write tough paperback detective novels under a nom de plume. Pen name, I'm Rod Savage.
Rod Savage. Oh, I wish I had an actor by that name.
But not looking like me.
Well, no, Professor. About maybe 30 years younger, 70 pounds lighter, 6 inches taller, more hair, more...
What are you going to do with the manuscript?
Well, I brought it home to read.
And you think you'll actually go all the way through?
Well, I...
Give it to me.
Why?
It may have something I can steal. Only kidding, Herbert. Maybe.
Okay, here.
You'll be free to watch wrestling on television. Herbert.
Oh, Professor, good morning.
Here's the manuscript, Herbert. This novel,
yeah?
Summer and Fire by Anne Kenyon, is good. Too good.
Too good. Come in.
She might get this published, and the critics would probably like it. The New York Times might even rave about it, and it would sell a couple of thousand copies.
That's bad?
It's like having 0.25% interest on your savings.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you think of all the crud that gets printed, the stuff you see in the supermarkets and at the airport.
Yes, well, this has a lot of what they do, sex and violence and kinkiness, but it's well done. There's also humor and adventure and romance.
But it wouldn't sell?
Oh, these days, like everything else, books have to be merchandised. Let me lay some heavy statistics on you. In this country alone, the number of new books per year is approaching 50,000.
50,000?
How many make the bestseller lists? Maybe 100 at most. More like a dozen. A handful, Herbert.
Yeah, but you said this novel is good.
I'd give it an A+, but these days, book deals and book promotion are carefully orchestrated.
Ah, like the movies.
Exactly. Only you don't have stars to work with.
You have the author.
Yes. Now, I'm an author. Look at me. Usually, the author is about as exciting to the public as if, say, you took the cameraman of a movie on a promotional tour. He isn't pretty or handsome, as the case may be, and he tells you about aperture.
What?
Authors, good on paper, on the air, blah. Of course.
Yeah?
Well, if you had an author who was,
What?
Well, consider, Herbert. Those novels I wrote under the name of Rod Savage, for the type of novel you buy at the airport, just from the suggestive or violent cover, they sold fairly well. But suppose that Rod Savage had been a war hero, or the first one-legged mountain climber to hop up on Mount Everest, something like that. Mm. Rod Savage would be interviewed on radio and television today, tonight, tomorrow, all of them. Or if Rod Savage was a 23-year-old stud who looked like Robert Redford, he'd get all the exposure needed to make the book's bestsellers.
Yeah. Thanks, Professor.
For what?
I don't know yet. Now, Sonia, the professor says Summer and Fire has violence and romance and sex and...
It's dirty.
Like the ones you buy at the drugstore. Only he says it's better than most.
Why are you so interested? You're not a literary agent.
Don't put barriers around my talent.
Herb, what are you...
I am going to talk to this Anne Kenyon.
Why?
Business.
Huh. I'm going along. This woman who writes so well about sex, you're not talking to her alone. Oh, my goodness, Mr. Hofstad. Oh, this is such a...
Call me Herb.
Well, all right, Herb. Sonia, call me Sonia. I've been a waitress so long I've forgotten I have a last name. Good evening, my name is Sonia. I'm your waitress for the evening.
A waitress? How exciting. What an interesting life you must lead.
What? Herb, how far out in the country did we come?
You could write a book.
She can hardly write a check.
Herb!
But you did write a book, Anne.
Oh, well, yes.
About sex and violence.
You read it.
No.
No?
No, no. Well, you see, Anne, you have to understand that in Hollywood, hardly anyone ever reads a book. I mean, studio executives, producers, agents, they have people read properties for them.
Goodness.
Goodness. Anne, baby, are you for real?
Pay no attention, Anne.
well, really, Herb, here is this woman. Oh, pardon me, Anne, but you look so plain and so...
Sedate?
Yeah, I guess... And you wrote this novel about such a passionate, hot, sexy...
Sonia, enough.
Oh, don't be cross with her, Mr. Herb. I know what she was getting at. Me, in my 30s, not good-looking, nearsighted, hair neither bright blonde nor shiny brunette, not bulging in the right places.
But you wrote Summer and Fire.
Yes.
In a small, rural,
hip
town like this. Now, how many people know that you wrote this novel?
No one. Not my friends. Not even Mother.
Anne, you want to be famous?
Me? Well, I'm rather shy.
Now, why did you write Summer and Fire?
I'm embarrassed.
Artistic expression?
No, Herb. I'm a clerk and ready to wear at the department store here. I wrote Summer and Fire, hoping to make some money.
And that embarrasses you? Everybody wants to make money. The big cars, the Riviera.
Well, actually, Herb, that's not it. It's for my mother. I want to be able to support her so she won't have to take in sewing anymore.
I'm going to barf.
And what we have in Summer and Fire is a good but losing novel.
Oh.
But if you're willing, Anne, and you too, Sonia, there's a way to make it a winner, and us with it.
These days, it isn't enough that a book be good for people to buy it. Gimmicks are needed to bring it to the attention of the public, such as a fascinating author to go on a promotional book tour. But what if the author isn't all that fascinating? And that's the problem facing a Hollywood agent, Herb Hofstadt.
Anne, may I be brutally frank?
You always are with me.
No, let me state the facts.
Oh, please do.
You have written a novel that any agent could get published, as my professor friend tells me, because it is quality.
Why, thank you.
No, wait. I gotta tell you, I am not a literary agent.
What?
Did you just look up agents in that directory?
Yes.
Well, I'm the wrong kind, Anne. I'm an actor's agent.
Oh, my goodness, what a mistake. Do you represent Michael Landon, Olivier, Bo Derek?
Oh, again. Well, no, not quite, Anne. Sonia here is one of my clients.
His only client.
Oh, are you in some series I know?
I'm on hiatus. We're negotiating. I can't discuss the details of my next project.
Yeah. The fact is, Sonia is available, very available. Now, look, Anne, you have written a good novel which won't sell. Oh, maybe 3,000 copies.
3,000? Why, that would bring me more money than I ever dreamed of.
That's nothing, Anne. We can make that much for you in a day.
How?
Yeah, how?
Well, first of all, if you agree with my plan, we sign a contract with a reputable publishing company. Then we start the rumor that this fine, old, distinguished firm is bringing out a dirty book.
Summer and Fire? Dirty?
Well, I know that it isn't exactly. My professor friend, however, says that it's spicy, and that's good. But we'll have rival publishers saying that it's filthy, getting interest up in the trade. The public will buy the book to see if it is filthy, as the competitors say, or quality, which it is.
I can hardly follow this, but it sounds so devious.
Herb, you have been thinking.
Now, look. 5,000 critics could say that Anne Kenyon's Summer and Fire is good, great, tremendous. And it wouldn't do as much as if Anne Kenyon was a guest on The Tonight Show and she dropped her pants.
What? Please. You want she should go on The Tonight Show and drop her...
Girls, don't get excited. It's just an expression. Comedians in vaudeville used to do that to get laughs. Oh, maybe just a shoulder strap breaking accidentally.
Herb, what good would it do to have her shoulder strap drop?
Exactly. But, Sonia, if you...
Me? Her? Did she write a novel?
Oh, yes or no.
Herb, are you okay?
Hey, I'm fine. The old brain cells are clicking. Anne, you said even your mother and closest friends don't know you wrote a book.
No, they don't.
All right. And this is my proposal. Since I am an actor's agent with only one client, as she so pointedly pointed out, I wish to give her a job in connection with my new role as literary agent. I propose to cast my one theatrical client, Sonia Johnson, in the role of my one literary client, Anne Kenyon.
I don't understand.
I don't either.
It's so simple. Anne, Sonia will impersonate you.
What? Simple?
Sonia, you can get off my back. I finally got a part for you. And as for you, Anne, royalties.
She, you play me?
won't somebody check on us?
No. Listen, you're not going to be investigated like if you wanted a credit card.
How would this work?
We'll get an expense account from the publisher to send Anne Kenyon on a book-selling tour. Only it'll be you, Sonia, we'll be merchandising.
How will I act? What I say?
Whatever Anne tells you to.
Me?
You make up your life, Anne. A scenario that Sonia will memorize and follow.
Gosh.
Oh, Anne, what a challenge. A chance for you to create a life story as you might have wanted it. Just make it super interesting without being super unbelievable. A story that'll hold Johnny and Merv and Dinah and...
But what?
You know, dramatic. About how you had a near-fatal illness when you were young, but you forced yourself to hang on and to walk again.
But, Herb, I
quaint, lovable. You carry a small, tattered, one-eyed teddy bear at all times for good luck.
Herb.
Funny, the time you went into the wrong hallway in the White House. Suspense, when you went into the wrong hallway in the Kremlin.
Hmm.
Risqué, the wrong hallway in that Las Vegas hotel.
Hey, that really happened to me.
So, if we're agreed, we'll get to it. We'll get Summer and Fire published, and then the three of us will go on tour to promote it on radio and television, in the newspapers, magazines. I'll be the mastermind, Sonia will be Anne, Anne will coach Sonia.
And the royalties go to Anne.
Well, I suppose. Minus my commission, of course. 25%.
15%.
Hmm?
And my fee?
I'll match what you're making as a waitress, plus a tip appropriate to your service.
For a gal from a small town, you make a pretty sharp show business deal.
I read fan magazines.
Sonia! Sonia!
Yeah.
Oh, I've never been in a big airport like this before. Isn't it exciting?
Terrific. What have you got there?
A copy of my book. I just bought it.
Bought it? Mm-hmm. We've got suitcases full of them.
But I wanted to buy one. My book, for sale in bookstores everywhere. I found this copy on a lower shelf in the gift shop.
Herb says we do our job right, we'll see it up on top shelf, eye level, right at the cashier's counter where it counts.
Summer and Fire. But, Sonia, who picked out the illustration for the cover?
Herb suggested it.
Well, that girl...
Yeah, what about her?
Shaped like that.
It's me. Well, the body anyway.
Where's Herb? Our plane leaves in 15 minutes.
You must have missed him in the gift shop.
He's buying my book, too?
Herb put out an extra buck when he doesn't have to? No. He wanted a notepad to figure out how we're going to pull this trick with the expense account off.
Oh, here he is. Good morning, Herb.
Oh, hi, Anne.
What are you figuring?
Double-entry bookkeeping. You know, if half the creative effort that goes into writing out expense accounts went into novels, we'd have thousands of works of literature. I see we have three of us traveling on a budget for two, author and agent. Now, where we're set on hotel rooms, we have prepaid reservations for two in each city.
Oh, good. Sonia and I will be roomies.
Yeah, of course.
Hazard of the road. Sharing a room, Sonia. Bunking together, like in Girl Scouts at camp or a sorority house.
I was never in any of those.
Now, I talked the publisher into first-class airline tickets. Of course, they think only two of us are going, me and Anne Kenyon.
Which is me?
You. Oh, I hope I'll be able to keep this all straight.
So, we trade in these two first-class tickets for three tourists. Should almost cover it.
I thought we'd be visiting Johnny Carson and Phil Donahue and Dick Cavett in Los Angeles and New York and Chicago. Instead, Indianapolis, St. Paul, Fort Worth, Hot Springs, Wichita, wherever they are. 7 and 8 interviews a day?
Well, we start in the smaller cities and build up. Think of it as trying out a play on the road before it opens on Broadway.
How exciting for you. And you won't get near a studio or a newspaper office. You've got to keep hidden.
Yeah, ladies. Being crooked, well, shady, I mean, is tough. You know, like meals. Now, we have to get dining room receipts that are marked only for two. And remember, we eat cheap, so it doesn't appear on the records like two are eating for three.
Makes one of us sound pregnant, eating for two.
Sonia, don't ever joke that way.
The plan sounds good. having a beautiful actress impersonate an author in order to promote a new novel, but will it work? The plan is about to face a severe test.
Sonia, this should be a cinch. This gal looks like a babe in the woods. She's so timid.
Oh, hi, Rebecca.
Oh, hi. And this is the famous author, Anne Kenyon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to have a great author like you get up early just so you could be here at 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
To come to the studio to be interviewed by me. I'm just tickled pink.
Yes, likewise.
Oh, we're on in a second, Miss Kenyon. Good morning. My guest on the show today is author Anne Kenyon, who has, judging by the sleazy, sexist cover of her book, written another of those slimy novels which are a dime a dozen, if that isn't overestimating the market value. Okay, Anne, what do you have to say for yourself?
That's me.
All right, so that's you. Now, tell our listeners what Summer and Fire is all about.
I sleep in the nude.
I want to ask you about that incident on page 193.
You've read it?
Of course. Haven't you?
Oh. Well, it's just that nobody else who's interviewed me so far has.
Well, I have. And I'm asking about the roses.
Roses?
Yes. What do they symbolize?
Well, I... could I have a glass of water, if you don't have anything stronger? Ask me about this damned one-eyed teddy bear. I always get nervous when I see the pilot walk down the aisle. I mean, who's flying the plane, you know?
Sonia, don't change the subject. You can't always fake a cough. How could you forget the incident of the roses? You wrote it.
I didn't. Herb, you're getting this all mixed up.
Well, you said you read the book.
I will. I'm getting to it, Herb. Give me time. This tour is a son of a gun.
Well, consider it practice for when you have to go out and promote your movies.
If you're getting me that starring role, I'll wait a long time.
I'm sorry it's been so grueling, Sonia. Now, shall we do some drill for the next appearance?
No more of that.
Sonia, you need it. You still haven't got through the whole book.
No more. I've had enough of both of you telling me what to say, how to act.
Sonia.
I'm going to the ticket counter.
Wait. You're going to turn in those first-class tickets in for tourists, right?
Well, you know the procedure. We have two first-class tickets.
And I turn them in for three tourists.
The publicity budget calls for first-class for the author.
You're not the author.
The hell I'm not.
Sonia.
I'm doing the work of the author, and I demand first-class.
Sonia, be reasonable.
Oh, it's okay, Herb. We'll be together in tourist. Non-smoking.
Non-smoking? I'll die.
Pardon me, miss. Are you traveling alone?
Yes, stewardess, I am, and it feels wonderful.
May I bring you something?
Like what?
Oh, a complimentary drink.
Oh, yeah, they're free in first class. Bring them on.
She's sleeping. Must be very tired.
She's passed out, drunk.
Oh, my goodness.
We have a problem. In 1 hour, Anne Kenyon is appearing on a radio interview show.
But Anne Kenyon, I mean, Sonia can't make it.
Which is why Anne Kenyon, and I mean Anne Kenyon, must make it.
But that's me.
Exactly.
But no, no.
Anne, we cannot cancel. We don't want to raise any questions back in New York with the publisher.
But I can't.
Now look, it's a small radio station in Arkansas. Nobody will see you. You got to do it, Anne.
Thank you for coming down tonight, Miss Kenyon.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Mr.
Steve.
Steve.
Ah, well, Miss Kenyon, I must tell you frankly,
yes.
You look so different from this cover illustration.
Well, I
was told that the cover was modeled after you.
poetic exaggeration. Artists tend to exaggerate. And Steve, it was a rough flight. Uh-huh. That's why I look different. And Steve?
Yes?
It should be a woman's IQ measurement, not her other measurements that matters. Just as for a man.
I beg your pardon?
Well, for example, you appear to be a man of average height.
5'8".
But why should we judge or evaluate or think that you are thus and so attractive or not just because of that height? When many a taller man wouldn't have your IQ, which I would judge from your look and your questions to be about, 160 or 180.
Well, you guessed.
Herb. Got to hurry, Steve. Had to send Ann ahead to the next interview.
Herb.
Sorry, Steve. No time. Got to rush. Visit us sometime, huh? Thanks, baby.
Don't thank me, Herb. Thank you for bringing her. What a clever woman.
Ann? Clever? Yeah, I guess.
And enticing.
Ann?
If I might be bold, man to man, sexy.
Ann?
Oh, yes. She turns me on.
Ann Kenyon?
Herb, couldn't
no.
I... Oh, you don't know what I was going to ask.
Care of the dog, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, no. I asked the stewardess for some coffee for you. That head of yours must feel as big as a basketball.
Well, that's why I need...
Coffee.
Oh, if I was up in first class...
But you aren't.
Where I belong.
Where you don't. Ann Kenyon played Ann Kenyon while you were sobering up, and she did it pretty well.
Did she knock him dead like I did?
Yes.
Yes?
She had one radio guy yet. Steve really turned on.
Hmm. Well, Herb, I'm not really surprised.
Well, I am. And I'm even more surprised that you're not surprised.
Herb, while I was recuperating, I finished her book.
Well, it's about time.
It opened my eyes. I'm going to watch her with you.
Me? Ann Kenyon? That mousy little...
I think Ann Kenyon is, what's that saying? Still water runs deep and sexy.
Sexy? Ann? You're still having a hangover.
Have you read the entire book, Summer and Fire?
Well, no, not all the way.
Herb, I think she lived more of that than she's let on, or at least more of it than we gave her credit for.
Oh, but that's a risque book.
It's a hot book. And I don't think she could have written it without going through herself personally exactly the kind of romance that's in there.
Hmm.
Don't get any ideas. I'll let her sit up there in first class, and I'll stay next to you.
Oh, come on, Sonia. Me and that small-town kid.
Who has big-town ideas.
Sonia, a beautiful but often unemployed actress, was hired to play the part of a touring author. Like many an actor, she sometimes finds it hard to tell reality from the role she's performing, and she hates to give it up. The real woman she's impersonating isn't happy either, being out of the spotlight, which means double trouble for the mastermind behind this weird scheme. Andy Griffith again, and here's the fourth act of Novel Affair.
Who is it?
A house detective. Open up.
I'll get it.
Ladies, ladies, good news.
What?
Summer and Fire is selling. I got a report from the home office. The book is a success. People are buying it. It's in.
Well, I've done the job, huh?
The book has done the job.
Without me?
Without something substantial.
Hey, ladies, ladies, none of this, huh? We need each other. We're doing just what us three musketeers set out to do. Let's not spoil it now.
Listen, you phony goody two-shoes.
I don't want a female impersonator.
Ah,
that's
you.
The claws are certainly coming out.
Hey, isn't one of you going to get this?
No.
Two Ann Kenyons, and neither one of them will answer her phone. Hello?
I'll make you rich and famous, and this is the thanks I get.
You should be flattered to be allowed to pretend that you are...
Would you two dumb broads keep it down? Yeah. This is Ann Kenyon's room. Who did you want? Oh, yeah, Ann Kenyon, yeah. Long distance, huh? Well, Ann Kenyon's not here right now.
I am.
I am.
Pipe down, will you?
Why don't you give me the number? I'll give it to her when she comes back. Okay. Well, I can't promise she'll return the call. She's so busy. Thanks.
Why didn't you let me talk to whoever it was?
It was for Ann Kenyon right now. That's me.
Cool it, girl.
But I
said cool it. Now, look, we don't know which Ann Kenyon this was for. We can't take a chance. We're too far along in this scheme to have it spoiled.
It might be important.
Well, the area code is 501.
Arkansas.
Bright kid.
Oh, no. I have an uneasy feeling. Where's my appointment book?
What are you looking up?
That radio station, the one you were on, Ann, when Sonia was,
indisposed.
Yeah. Now, here it is. Yeah, the station number. I was right.
What?
The call was from that number, that small station, that guy.
Steve.
Yeah, who was so taken with you.
What's the number? Why did you tear it up?
It's trouble, Ann. We cannot let this go any further.
But he's such a nice man.
Nice men can cause trouble.
I never met one.
Get out. Both of you.
Where am I supposed to sleep?
That's your problem.
Ann!
Get out! Get out!
No, you get out.
What?
You heard me. This room is mine.
It belongs to Ann Kenyon.
Which is me.
It is not.
I won't give it up. You, Ann, get out. Stay with Herb. You'd like that, wouldn't you? Sonia.
Sonia, Ann.
I'll get it.
I will.
Like hell, either of you will. This is Ann Kenyon.
Oh, Lord.
Yes? Yes? Yes, I got the message.
Well?
Herb, you were right. That first call was from Steve.
And?
He left a message. He's going to fly here to see me tomorrow.
Herb, how are we going to explain canceling a morning in Des Moines?
Better than we can explain two Ann Kenyons to a nosy disc jockey from Arkansas.
Steve is not.
Now, don't get upset, Ann. We've got to stick together, us three, and pull this off. At least this crisis has got us all sitting together, equal in tourist class.
I don't like it as the star.
I don't like it as the author.
I don't like it as the guy sitting between you two. Next time, I go up there, alone, without you both, first class.
I'm going to the lounge.
Well, don't get snockered. Damn, I wish I could keep her under control.
Under control? Herb, she's a human being. Right now, very confused about who she is, as I am.
You? You're a hot property, and Sonia is representing the product.
Product? Property? I am not a property or product.
Hey, what is all this? Why the fireworks? After all I've done for you?
For me? You're not doing anything for me. You're exploiting me.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You wanted money. I got it for you.
And you?
I'm an agent. I get a fee.
Okay, fine. Only don't make it sound as if this is all for me.
Yeah?
And? Ann Kenyon?
Well, yeah. You bring the chicken salad and scotch, but you're not room service.
No, and you're not... Where's Ann?
I'm Ann Kenyon.
The author? No, you're not.
What do you mean I'm not? I'm Ann Kenyon.
I don't know what's going on. I saw you on a TV show this morning. I was watching from my room here at the hotel, and they said you were Ann Kenyon, but you're not.
Who are you?
A friend of Ann's.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, let me guess. Steve something from Arkansas?
Right. Well, now, how did you know? You...
Herb! Herb!
Oh, Steve. What are you doing here?
See you later, Herb.
Herb, you said come any time.
Yeah, I did. I suppose I did. But, Steve, baby, that's what we all say all the time doesn't mean...
A thing, correct?
Well, tell me, Steve, why Ann?
I tried to explain the other time, Herb. She's my dream girl. I'd pursue her to the ends of the earth.
On your own money? No expense account? Wow, that must be love.
But what's going on? Who's...
Oh, okay. Okay, Steve. I'll have to level with you. You see... So, girls, Steve now knows the whole story.
Good Lord, Ann. All this intrigue.
Yes, Steve. And you better not open your trap about it.
You might all go to jail.
Steve, jail?
For what?
I don't know. Didn't that guy go to prison for faking an autobiography of Howard Hughes? Oh, but I won't say anything. If...
Money?
No. I just want Ann Kenyon, the real one, to have dinner with me.
Well, I
Guess we can be that reasonable.
Nobody asked me.
Anne, please do me the honor of having dinner.
I'd be delighted.
From the look in your eyes, it must have been some dinner.
Oh, what a kid say. Dreamy.
Oh, I wish I knew a hitman to wipe him out.
Sonia.
I like being a star in the spotlight.
Me too.
You, the shrieking violet?
Yes.
Huh. This isn't what you said at the beginning.
I have changed.
No, you're just reverting to your natural self.
What does that mean?
Like you're after this guy Steve and you're hot for Herb. Apparently anything in pants.
What?
Sonia.
Not true.
Sonia, no matter what you think about Anne living this novel, it's not true. It's nonsense.
Nonsense?
Well, isn't it? All that romancing and loving?
No, it's not. See, Herb?
It isn't?
I never told you I hadn't lived this story. You just assumed, because I was from that small town and I wasn't glamorous, I couldn't have a romance. You think that the only women who have romances have long, lustrous hair and perfect teeth, like in shampoo commercials, and that the men are the 6'6" types in film.
I see. And this Steve?
You've heard of love at first sight. Steve has asked me to marry him.
Will you? To keep him from blabbing about what we're doing?
If I marry him, it'll be because I'm so in love I can't help myself. But first off, folks, what I want is to be me, Anne Kenyon. I'm taking back myself.
You try and...
Now what?
Hello, everyone.
Steve. Steve, just the one I wanted to see. Didn't you say something about prison for fraud or something?
Yes, but I was upset. I didn't mean I'd turn you in, or you, Anne, or Herb.
Well, if I'm crossed, I will.
Sonia, we've asked you here because this concerns the four of us.
What?
Now, Anne is seriously considering marrying her ardent pursuer.
Arkansas is such a small market, Anne.
But Steve is such a big man in so many ways.
Well, Sonia, the point is, we're going to go public. We're going to tell the world about this fraud.
But, well, I don't really want to go to prison.
I don't think any of you will.
There goes first class sometimes, and money, and a starring role.
Not at all.
It's just beginning.
This morning, Herb here...
called a friend in Los Angeles, a real literary agent.
And?
He wants me to write this story about us for another book, an expose. He guarantees a publisher.
About?
About this author impersonation scheme. Weird, isn't it? That's the world today. This book will no doubt sell more than Summer and Fire.
And,
Sonia, that agent thinks this would be a perfect story for one of those television movies.
TV? Our story?
How an ugly duckling wrote a sexy novel and a sexy actress impersonated her.
Oh, Anne.
Sonia, baby, Anne and Steve and me, well, we're not qualified. But, Sonia, do you think if they cast you, you could act yourself?
Well, if Anne gave me hints on motivation...
Oh, I can give it to you. Money.
I got it.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you five nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Novel Affair, was written by P.M. Klepper and produced and directed by Livia Granito. Your host was Andy Griffin. Our stars were Cliff Norton, Noel North, and Janet Waldo. Featured in the cast were Len Berman and Lillian Baez. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Sears, a name that means quality and value. A name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value.
This is Vincent Price. Join us tomorrow and be ready for the tension of this week's story of mystery and suspense.